Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to the program. Hope everything is going well with you today. Perhaps you're thinking about getting out and worshiping God. If so, we'd love for you to do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 9 o'clock this morning for Bible study and then for a worship assembly. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, and we'd love for you to be with us to honor our God, to thank Him for all that He's doing for us, to remember His Son, to listen to His Word, to praise Him in song, just the things we love to do in worship that God has instructed us to do. And we'd love for you to be with us to enjoy that opportunity to praise and glorify Him. If you can't be with us, you can check us out online. The services are live streamed on our Facebook page. Just go to Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama. Click on our Facebook page, or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and go to our media tab and click on the live streaming. But we'd love for you to be with us in person if you can. 9 o'clock this morning, 110 French Way, Athens, Alabama, if you're anywhere in the Athens area. Thomas Carlyle is said to have said that the greatest of all faults is to be conscious of none. And there may be a lot of truth in that. The Bible shows us that one of the besetting problems of human beings is that we have real trouble seeing our own faults and our own sins. And that can be a barrier between us and a great relationship with God. So I want to talk with you this morning about this greatest fault of all, not being able to see our faults, not being able to recognize our own sins. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus speaks a parable in which He is hitting right on this point. In fact, it's a parable that He speaks to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised all others. So Luke 18 and verse 9, here's what the scripture says. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. They were righteous. They despised others. And here's the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So in this parable, Jesus tells us about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Pharisees were very, very religious people in the New Testament age among the Jews. You read about them a lot in the New Testament. Jesus has a lot of dealings with them. And they have, although they claim to be very religious people, they have a number of besetting faults and problems. They tend to be hypocrites. They were self-righteous. They couldn't see their own sins, thinking they were better than everybody else. And that's what leads Jesus to speak this parable. This was a common problem among the Pharisees. The other person in the parable is a tax collector. And tax collectors were just despised by the Jewish people overall. Tax collectors themselves were Jews, but they had sort of turned against their own nation and they were collecting taxes for the Romans. There was a lot of covetousness and dishonesty that was involved in that usually. And so they were regarded as traitors to their own country as they collected taxes for this foreign invader, the Roman government. So anyway, these two men, they go up to the temple to pray. One is this Pharisee and the other is this tax collector. Well, the Pharisee is the one who, you know, he thinks he's better than everybody else. And you see that as Jesus describes his prayer. He prayed, I thank you that I'm not like other men. In other words, I'm better than everybody else, right? And when you have that attitude, you're going to have a hard time seeing your faults. He was glad, the Pharisee was, that he was not unjust or an adulterer or a tax collector for that matter. And he claims to have done a lot of good things like fasting and giving tithes of the things that he possessed. So he thought he was all good and he couldn't see any of his faults. The tax collector realized that he was a sinful man. He knew what his faults were. And so he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. He beats his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If we say we have no sin, if we fail to recognize our sins and our own faults, if we claim that we don't have any, as we've already said, that's the biggest fault of all, and we're truly blind. John writes, the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we're just not telling ourselves the truth if we say that we don't have a problem with sin. On another occasion in John chapter 9, Jesus encountered another group of Pharisees. Jesus had healed a blind man in this text. And as the story sort of winds up and the blind man gives Jesus the praise and honor for his healing, Jesus pronounces in John 9 and verse 39, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? The person who says he sees, who says, I've got everything under control here, I'm all right, I'm good with God, he doesn't recognize his sins. He's blind. You say we see, you're blind. That's what Jesus says. And so if we're in that category, like this Pharisee in the parable in Luke 18, or like the Pharisees that Jesus spoke to in John chapter 9, if we're people who think we're good with God, we don't really have any problems, we don't really have any sins, and if we do, we can't see them, that's a great fault. And back in our parable in Luke chapter 18, you might notice that at the end of it, Jesus says about the tax collector, that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee who couldn't see his sins, who didn't even claim own up to having any sins or ask God for forgiveness for any sins, that Pharisee wasn't justified before God. He wasn't. And the problem was, again, that he couldn't see his own faults. So what causes this? What causes us as human beings to be often completely blind and oblivious to our own shortcomings, to our own sins, to our own spiritual problems? Let's examine that for a little while. Let's think about what causes this greatest fault when we're not conscious of any of our faults. One of the things that causes it, according to Scripture, is focusing on the sins of others. We're often blind to our own sins because we're so zoned in on everybody else's faults and everybody else's shortcomings. Jesus deals with this directly in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See what Jesus is talking about, right? Here's someone who wants to help his neighbor or his brother overcome some sin or some problem. But that sin or that problem in the other person is relatively small compared to the big problem, the big sin, the plank in somebody's eye when he's trying to get a speck out of the other person's eye. We are often blind to our own sins while we're focused on the sins of others. Here's a person that doesn't realize he's got this huge beam coming out of his own eye, and he's trying to help his friend get a little speck out of his eye. We have all sorts of examples of this in the world today. All sorts of what you might call applications of this principle in the world today. We are in the midst of election season, and the political parties are, both strongly supporting their candidates. And in politics, we often see political parties, and not to get too specific, but just to say that seems to me that political parties in general don't have a hard time pointing out the faults of the other party, pointing out what's wrong with this or that in the other party or what the other party stands for, how wrong it is. But they can't see any faults in themselves, personally or as a party. And that is a problem when we can't see our own faults. If you ask one party, people who are in the party, people who are strongly supportive of it, you know, what are your problems? What are your shortcomings? What things are about you need to be worked on? You probably wouldn't get anything, you know, no matter which party you asked. And the reality is, of course, that there's not a perfect political party. There's just like there aren't any perfect people. And when we're focused on what's wrong with the other guy, we often fail to see what's wrong with us and the corrections that we could and should make for ourselves, whether we're a political party or whether we're an individual who's standing before God. The corrections that we should and could make for ourselves, we're not even going to see that those corrections need to be made because we're so focused on the other person. So one of the things that causes this greatest fault is looking at other people's faults all the time and not doing what the Bible calls self-examination. We're to examine ourselves. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, we're to look at our own lives and see what needs cleaning up and what needs correcting. And Jesus says there in Matthew 7, get the plank out of your own eye. Get that log or that beam or that big obstruction out of your own eye before you worry about judging others or, you know, condemning others for maybe the small things that are amiss in their lives. So that's one thing that causes us to not be conscious of our faults. Another thing is when we fixate on externals rather than focusing on what's inside of us. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus again has some things to say to the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 23, I'll be reading, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Notice what Jesus is saying here. The Pharisees, who are again this hyper-religious party of Jesus' day, they believe themselves to be better than everyone else and holier than everyone else. Their besetting problem was their self-righteousness and their hypocrisy. And Jesus is talking about that really throughout this section in Matthew chapter 23. And he starts here in verse 23, the verse I read, calling them hypocrites. But what they're doing is they're taking care of the small external requirements of their religion, which included tithing or giving a tenth of everything that they possessed. And they'd go around and they'd look at their cabinet of spices, maybe in their home, their rack of spices, and they'd go through every one and they'd give a tenth of every one of those herbs. And Jesus isn't saying that was wrong to do that, but what they were doing was they were so focused on those little things that they were forgetting the big things that were internal. Mercy and faith and those kinds of things. And so he calls them, in verse 24, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You know, I don't like to have a small bug in my drink. Do you? Do you ever had a fly or a gnat get in your drink? You don't want that. But you sure don't want a camel in your drink either. So, you know, we strain out the gnat, but we swallow the whole camel. That's not good. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They strained out the gnats, but they swallowed the big things, the things that were really big and things that were really wrong. So he says to them in verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." See, the problem with the Pharisees was that they worried about all the external things, all the little bits of the do's and the don'ts that were outward. They took care of those, but inside, they're hypocrites. Inside, they're full of evil things. And Jesus talks about those things that were inside them: extortion and self-indulgence, hypocrisy itself, lawlessness. See, they prided themselves in being law keepers, but inwardly they were not law keepers at all. They were guilty of lawlessness. A lot of people don't realize this about the Pharisees. They think that, you know, the Pharisees, that their problem was that they were just overzealous in keeping the law. That is not the problem of the Pharisees. In fact, Jesus plainly says their problem is lawlessness, not law keeping. It's not wrong to do what God says. It's never wrong to do what God says. And we need to be focused on doing what God says, but not just on the outside, on the inside as well. That's Jesus' point very plainly. So let's think more about what Jesus is saying regarding why these people couldn't see their faults. Well, it's because they were focused on the outward. They were focused on those outside things, not on the inward things, not on what's going on in their hearts. Jesus counsels them to cleanse the inside. When you're eating, you probably appreciate it if the outside of your dish and or your bowl or your cup is clean. But if you look inside it again and it's dirty and there's leftover food in there from the last time it was used, or dried up drink from the last time the cup was used, that's not very appealing. We need to cleanse the inside. Jesus is saying that about human beings. Cleanse the inside and not just the outside. And he talks about whitewashed tombs. Back in Jesus' day, of course, a Jew would become ceremonially unclean if they touched a dead body or a tomb. And so the Jews were in the habit of putting whitewash on the tombs so that everybody could see them and they wouldn't accidentally touch one. So you had these whitewashed tombs. And so that made the tombs look especially beautiful. You know, it's like some mausoleum in a graveyard somewhere or a cemetery somewhere that looks like a small temple. You know, it's very nice looking on the outside, but of course inward, on the inside of it, it's full of dead men's bones. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you're like that. Outwardly, you know, you're painted up nice and pretty, you got whitewash on you, and maybe your structure is you know, like a tomb that's really fancy. But on the inside, it's full of corruption, full of dead men's bones. So what we're learning is, Let's think about what's going on the inside of us. And only in that way will we come to be able to discern and identify our true faults, things that we need to change, things that we need to work on, things that we need to repent of, and things that we need to get forgiveness for. We need to be aware of our faults if we're going to be right with God. And that's what we're talking about this morning, being aware of our own faults. We can't focus on the sins of others all the time and be aware of our own faults. Start with yourself. I need to start with myself. We can't focus on just external things. We have to focus on what's inside. And another thing that causes us to not be able to identify our own faults is this a feeling maybe of material self-sufficiency, where, you know, we have everything we need, we have a nice house to live in, nice car to drive, all of the you know, luxuries of life that we in middle-class America enjoy. Many of us in this area of the country certainly have a lot of material blessings. And so we think we have all of this. And so we think, well, our life is under control. I've got it made. I don't have any big problems. And we think we don't have anything that we need to correct in our lives because we're so richly blessed. Kind of like what the Laodiceans said in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus has a message for the church in Laodicea that he sends through the apostle John. And basically, the Laodiceans were not pleasing to God. And one of the reasons is, Revelation 3 and verse 17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, here are people who had some real faults. Spiritually speaking, they were poor, they were blind, and they were naked. But because they were materially wealthy, because they didn't really have any real needs that weren't being met, materially speaking or physically speaking, they thought that there was nothing wrong with them. They thought there was nothing to correct, nothing to improve on the inside. And that can be the same with us today. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you're living the country club lifestyle or if you're just a worker at one of the plants in the area or work in retail or you're working out in construction or whatever it might be, but you're bringing home a paycheck and you have a decent house and you have a nice car and all of these physical blessings, plenty to eat. And so because all of your material situation is satisfactory or maybe even very good, you think, well, I don't have any problems. And that's where the Laodiceans were. Jesus talks about that too with the Pharisees in Luke chapter 16. They had that similar sort of problem. It says about them, he said to them, to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God." These people were covetous. That was part of their problem. They thought that material wealth was more important than anything, and so God had blessed them. It says about them in verse 14, the Pharisees were lovers of money. And so Jesus goes on and tells them in verse 19 a story which hopefully would bring them to their senses. He says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day." So here's a guy, he has really nice clothes, and he's eating really, really well. But then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So you've got this rich man who's eating well all the time, and you've got this poor man who just loved a few crumbs from his table, but the rich man doesn't really give him anything. The text says, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in torment in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented.'" Apparently this rich man, enjoying life as he did, having everything from a material standpoint that he needed, couldn't see his own selfishness and self-centeredness, couldn't see a man that was laid there at his gate every day who was in dire need of being helped. He couldn't see the sin of him having all of this material wealth and not being willing to care for somebody else who was in great need. He couldn't see what was wrong with that. He couldn't see the fault in it. And as a result, he spends eternity in torment. And I'm telling you that there'll be a lot of people who live really fine lives in this world and are blessed materially. Many of us in this country, certainly, who are so richly blessed with so many things, and yet, we don't share, we don't care about others, we're self-involved and self-absorbed and selfish. And as a consequence of that, we don't think we have any faults. We don't think we have any problems. We need to look at what Jesus is teaching us here in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This feeling of material self-sufficiency often leads us to be blind to our faults. We need to have an attitude in life of, what do I lack? What are my faults? What do I need to improve on? What could I do better? Back in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 19, there was a man who was a rich young ruler, who came to Jesus and wondered what he could do, what more he could do. In fact, he asked the question in Matthew 19 and verse 20, what do I still lack? Leading up to that, the young man had asked Jesus, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? That's Matthew 19 and verse 16. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which? And Jesus said, well, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him then, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? So he was doing a lot of good things, but he still had this question, what do I need to do? Where's my shortcoming? Where am I falling short? What else could I do? We need to have that attitude. But then we need to have an attitude that's better than this young man, because when Jesus tells him what he needs to do, when he tells him what his fault is, what he needs to correct, what he needs to improve on, he doesn't do it. And again, just like those people we were talking about a minute ago, or the Bible was talking about a minute ago, when Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect or be complete, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man, when he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see what his problem was? He was possessed by his possessions. He thought that he could do some good things in his life, but because he had all of this wealth, because he had all of these material goods that he didn't need to help others with, that he really didn't need to sacrifice and change things that needed changing in his life. It's the case with a lot of folks today, even still. We need to ask this question and sincerely ask, what do I still lack? And then when we're shown what we lack, we need to do better. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that we need to continually add to our faith. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. We need to continue to grow and develop in a lot of areas. And if we think we don't have any faults or we don't have any place for improvement, we need to think again. What's keeping you from seeing your faults? Is it that you're focused on the sins of others, that you're focused on just doing external things? Is it that you're surrounded by material things that bless your life, and so you don't really think you have any problems? We need to all look at our lives, check for our own faults, and go to God with those and correct them. That's the way that leads to life. And we thank you for listening to the program this morning. We hope it's blessed your life today as you maybe engage in a little bit of self-examination. If you're interested in further in Bible study, we'd love for you to contact us at Eastside. Call us at 256-232-4666. If you'd like to enroll in a free Bible correspondence program. In any case, continue to study your Bible and strive to walk the way that leads to life.